This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 3 of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this weekend was match day 3 for La Liga, and that means, in all actuality, it was probably the beginning of the season for most teams, or for every team in La Liga. It kicked off the season for them. So, in actuality, it's kind of, we can say the full couple weeks ago was the grand opening. I'm sorry, was the soft opening. And this was the grand opening of La Liga with all the big names finally playing today. Obviously, Real Madrid started last week, but you had Barcelona playing today, Atletico Madrid, Sevilla. So all of the teams were in, came out and played this weekend. So a lot to talk about, obviously, after the initial dud for many Madridistas, that was the 0-0 start to our season in Real Sociedad last week. We got a win. But before we get into all of the nitty gritty and all of the details, I guess, and start discussing that game, let's talk a little bit about, just social media handles and how you can get in touch with us. So once again, our podcast is Y Nada Más Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Y Nada Más Podcast. You can also find us on the website or on the web at ynadamas.net. And then you can also, if you want to send us an email, have any suggestions, you could do that in the comments of any of those social media. But if you want to send us a direct mail, you can send it to us at info@ynadamas.net. So that is all of the details, so to speak, about our podcast. But I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been supportive and has been listening to the podcast. I really hope you're enjoying it. And we want to continue, obviously, to provide you high quality podcasts. And hopefully, as it goes, we'll bring on some people and some more analysts, more analytical, and just have conversations with other Madridistas that are interested and have more tactical knowledge than just myself. As I said before, I am a fan. I am a fan of the sport. I'm a fan of football. My background has been in radio, so I decided to also do a podcast about one of my passions, which is football. So here we are at the Nada Más Podcast, episode number 3. And, well, let's get started. So, as I did last time, we have a sound, or I created these sounds that I wanted to make anytime there was a win or a loss. So last week, you guys heard this one.
Hostia.
Which is what you're going to hear when, unfortunately, we either draw or lose a game, which hopefully I won't have to use many times this year. But if we win, you will hear this one.
Vamos, Madrid.
So that is today's. So once again, I'll play it.
Vamos, Madrid.
And yes, and yes, and yes, that means that we won our game this weekend. Our game was on Saturday, and that was versus Real Betis en el Benito Villamarín in Seville, or Sevilla, if you are a Spanish speaker. So what can we say about this game? It was a tough match, a complicated match. A lot of things to be taken away with it. Obviously, people that are anti-Madridistas are going to be all over this, and they already are. Pretty sure if you guys are in the Twitter sphere and get online and enjoy bantering on Twitter when it comes to football, you'll have seen a lot of the comments, obviously, about the VAR decisions. One being a supposed offside call for Benzema in the own goal. that caused Madrid to tie the game, to draw the game, and then the penalty call that basically led to us winning the game. So if you are under a rock or you're listening to us and don't know the score of the game, then I'm sorry to spoil it for you, but why would you be listening to a Real Madrid podcast if that was the case? So anyway, you will know, obviously, that we won the game 3-2. Once again, as I said, it was a tough game against an always tough Real Betis. Real Betis is not an easy team as of late. They have some quality players on the team, and obviously you got guys like Canales, Joaquin, you know, the seemingly, you know, does not get or just ages like a fine wine, Joaquin. Obviously, you also have guys, like I said, like Canales. Then you have Nabil Fekir, you know, so a lot of them, and a lot of them were playing really well. I would say Fekir had a great game on Saturday. So it was a difficult time for Madrid. It was a difficult time. But one of the things that was the upside, obviously, to this entire game was that, I guess you could say that it was a good thing that it means Zidane was listening or has been listening to the fans, or obviously the board is listening to the fans. And we've all been talking about, why have we not seen more of Jovic? Why have we not? Why does Zidane not try to bring on another striker? We are lacking firepower. And that's not to say that Benzema is not a great, you know, somebody who can score goals for us, but he cannot be the only one that scores goals for us. And unfortunately, we are lacking, you know, as great as Vinicius Jr. is, running in, you know, running up and down and bombing up and down the left flank and cutting into the box to go, you know, to go into the penalty area and try to score and take on the goalie or take on the defense. He does have that, I would say, that youthful recklessness to go in there and try to, you know, that cheekiness that you want to have and that a lot of times young players have because they're not afraid to go into the box. But one of the things that we are lacking when it comes to Vinicius is Vinicius still does not have his shooting boots on. And that's something that he has to greatly improve if we want to see, you know, more goals out of him. Unfortunately, we also don't have you know, a prime Hazard, that Hazard that everybody wants to see, which was the Hazard that, you know, was a dominant force playing in the Premier League and with Chelsea. We still haven't gotten the best out of Hazard, and we definitely want to see him. Now, he was, by all reports, fit to play the game, and wanted to play the game, but Zidane actually did not call him up for this game. And I think that, you know, one of the best things there is, now there was another report that I saw on Twitter and, you know, on different, you know, on different, obviously, outlets, and I don't know which ones you can trust and which ones not. Some I know which ones you can, but there are others that, you know, kind of just say things. So there was a report basically that one of the doctors was telling Zidane, you know, that although he was fit to play, he was in danger of getting injured again, that his ankle is still weak, and that even playing, and even though that he's fit, it is always going to be in danger of him getting injured again. That's not great news, but I don't know how much truth there is to that. But either way, Zidane decided not to go with Hazard, and obviously we're still waiting on Asensio to be fit as well. So he went with a different formation, obviously, and he gave us that 4-4-2 formation for this game, which was obviously adding Jovic to the lineup. And, you know, the first 15 minutes of Real Madrid were good. I thought they were, you know, they were solid. They really looked cohesive. You know, Benzema, you know, there was a great pass from Mendy coming out of the left flank as he bombed up the left flank, and he, you know, did a great cross, driven cross to the middle, and Benzema scored. Unfortunately, it was offside, but it was kind of a showcase of a little bit more attacking prowess. And, you know, and eventually we did get that goal with Benzema. Benzema was really all over the field, if we want to go more into that a little bit later, but he was really all over the field, you know, going back. He was basically, you know, going back, dropping back. He was actually drifting wide, whether it was left or right. He was really trying to go and create chances as much as he could, which is really a testament to Benzema's work rate, you know, and his style. He is not a all-in-all target man, all-in-out striker, you know, a number nine. He is not, you know, I don't think Benzema's ever been a target man. Obviously, a lot of people will agree on that. He brings so much to the table that is not just goals. You know, he is a creator. He is a risk taker. He wants to, you know, to have the ball. When he's not getting service, he will drop back. He will assist the defense. He will assist the midfield. He will try to get the ball and, you know, and create plays. And essentially, Benzema was the reason that we got the first goal. You know, with that, you know, he drifted wide, did a great pass to Valverde, who was in the box, and scored the first goal of the game. You know, really bamboozling the defense, playing in the box, you know, doing the regates, you know, and everything to, you know, basically dribbling in the box and scoring that and setting it up. Everything was him setting up that entire play to score the first goal. And he was really like that throughout the game. But why could he do that? So obviously you know, like I said, Zidane seemingly listened to the fans and gave us Jovic as a starting role of the team. The formation was a 4-4-2, Odegaard playing the creative role with Jovic seemingly being the target man. And the reason I like this formation was because it gave a lot of freedom to Benzema to, you know, really, while giving minutes to Jovic, of course. I feel like Jovic wasted an opportunity to shine. He could have done, you know, I wanted to see him score goals. I wanted to see a little bit more from him. It seemed like really Jovic's purpose in this entire game, other than a few touches, was to, you know, be a decoy in a lot of ways, because he just took, which is a good thing for Madrid, because he took pressure. You could see that a lot of times the defenders from Betis were focused on trying to, they had to cover an additional striker, you know, so they were covering Jovic. And even with him not doing anything, that was what he was bringing to the table, because they would took pressure off of Benzema. Benzema moved a lot more free, and he was creating chances for us and creating chances to score. I still think the issue that I'm still having, that I still see, is that we are missing firepower that isn't Benzema. And even Benzema is still, you know, there were still a couple of chances that he missed. Sergio Ramos missed an absolute sitter, you know, that he could have, I think, would have changed the game, because we would have gone two up. Then he missed another header, which, I mean, I can't blame him entirely for that, because that was, you know, he just got under it a little bit too much and could not score it. But it was a free kick from Kroos. So, you know, there was a lot of things there that the creativity was there, because there was, the defenders had to focus a lot more on this extra person that was in the box, which was Jovic. I think it's good that he's sort of a wild card at this moment. Not many people know what he can bring to the table. We haven't seen the best of Jovic. Will we see the best of Jovic? Will we see this formation again? But for the defenders, they couldn't take the risk and say, you know, Jovic is probably not going to do anything and leave him open. So they have to cover this extra man that they have in the box, leaving a Benzema to, you know, roam and be free and create a lot of dangerous situations for us. So this is what, I mean, I think, like, once again, I think when it comes to the Jovic situation, I think he missed a big chance to score, or a big chance to kind of shine a little bit more, but he did help us in that regard. And in a lot of ways, he hasn't had a lot of time to still mesh with the team. So hopefully we see this formation again. And I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, I think the only downside to this formation is that it takes away a bit of speed from us on the wings, definitely. Obviously, having Kroos and Fede, you know, drift wide a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you know, because you have Mendy and Carvajal bombing forward. So you would have, you know, Fede, Valverde, and, you know, Kroos covering the wings a little, covering the wings. I felt that left us susceptible, obviously, to any sort of counterattack. Obviously, Mendy and Carvajal will, you know, they will drop back. They will go run back to to defend, but it does leave us open to counterattacks in that situation, especially in a team with Real Betis, where, you know, they have speedier wings. They were able to play, you know, play quicker, and, you know, their buildup was quicker. They were able to kind of play their way out of the back pretty quickly. And that's kind of how their pressure was getting to us. I think we dropped our guard after the goal was scored, and Sergio Ramos said as much. After the goal was scored, it was a terrible first half for Real Madrid. I really think Odegaard did not find his footing. He still hasn't found, you know, this formation. The one thing that I felt that it was not a benefit to Odegaard was it kind of kept him locked in that very central position. He didn't know who to link up with too much. He didn't get a lot of ability to be creative. Obviously, like I said, there were a lot of times where Benzema was just having such a crazy game where he was, you know, going, he was drifting wide, he was drifting right, he was drifting left, he was dropping back. There was a lot of times where Benzema was really the point of reference for a lot of our midfield. So whether it was Casemiro trying to, you know, get a ball out of the back, Ramos moving up, Varane moving up, Mendy cutting in and cutting inside a little bit and going up the flanks. Their point of reference a lot of times was Benzema to get everything started. So it really kind of let Odegaard trying to figure out where his position was. And I think that'll come with time. I think we didn't have a lot of control in that first half. And that's obviously why Zidane decided, you know, we ended up giving up those two goals. I think Zidane decided to obviously substitute Odegaard after the second goal. You know, it was a mistake. I mean, I think you can't blame. I saw a lot of people on Twitter were blaming Odegaard for that goal, but that goal was really, it was a few different errors that happened with that goal to happen. Obviously, Kroos giving away somewhat of a sloppy pass out to Mendy. Joaquin intercepts the ball. He basically passes it. I believe he passes it out to Canales. Canales passes it to Fekir. And William Carvalho, who is the eventual goal scorer, who was really the man that, you know, that Odegaard should be marking and should be not really beat Odegaard for pace at all, was the one that bombed forward and was able to score that goal. I think Thibaut Courtois could have done a little bit better, but I'm not really going to blame him because he's been saving our ass a lot. You know, there was a lot, like I said, there was a multitude of errors. You know, he got beat at the near post from that strike from Carvalho. So there was, you know, it was a multitude of errors, but I really think the point for Zidane in taking off Odegaard was definitely probably that tracking back to cover William Carvalho. And him not doing that, you know, also led to the goal. So I believe he felt we needed more, you know, more concentration, more control in the midfield, which sometimes can be something that you're going to lose in a lot of times in a 4-4-2 formation, is that control in the midfield. When you only really have two people or one person really controlling that midfield, in the sense of it being, you know, Kroos was, you know, Kroos and Casemiro were inside. But, you know, if they overload the midfield, in that case, you had Fekir, in that play, you had Joaquin, Fekir, and Canales, and William Carvalho. You had four, you know, just bombing forward all of a sudden because we gave away that possession. So Odegaard had to come back. Everybody had to come back. We just got caught out of position, and that's basically how the goals were scored. So really, when you think about it, for me, it wasn't a terrible performance. I don't think it was bad at all. I think we gave up, and this, it's better that it happens at the beginning of the season rather than later in the season. We gave up really, there were two mistakes that cost us the two goals. Now, obviously, if we hadn't scored the three goals, the first goal by Valverde, and then eventually the own goal by Emerson, and then the all, you know, the goal or the penalty that Borja Mayoral drew, you know, if we wouldn't have gotten those, then obviously that was going to cost us. But, you know, we did, we were able to cause the situations for those opportunities to happen. But I really think they were mistakes that were caught that caused the 2-0 rather than bad than us being outplayed. I don't think we were outplayed except for the first half. I believe after the first 15 minutes, the rest of the first half, I think, was definitely a throwaway. I definitely think believe Isco coming into the game really helped us control the midfield a little bit more, control the tempo a little bit more. Modric, he's always great on the ball. He's quick on the ball. He's good decision making. I think he's always going to be, for us at least, for me, you know, like I said, he's one of my favorite players. He is my favorite player, actually, from Real Madrid, so much so that I named my son after him. So he's been, for me, it just sucks to see that he's getting older, obviously, and that he's definitely going to come on as a sub if we're seeing that Zidane is giving so much, how would I say, he's giving a lot of, you can tell by these starting Odegaard in these last two games that he's definitely trusting Odegaard, probably seeing the talent that Odegaard has. So I believe we'll probably see Modric as more of a super sub, which is great to have anyway. And hopefully Modric, you know, it seems Modric is okay with that role for the time being. So anyway, I think really, you know, that gave us more, you know, solidity in the midfield, was bringing on Isco and Modric in the second half. And that was really what was able to get us, you know, to get us equalized and then have us win the game. So like I was saying, I think the only downside to the formation, to the 4-4-2 formation, is that it kind of takes away a bit of the speed from the team. I think we lack a little bit of width as well. You don't have Vinny bombing down that left flank and, you know, linking up with Mendy and cutting into the box with that recklessness, that which is I use recklessness actually as a positive term, because I think it's something that, you know, is something that more experienced wingers probably don't throw caution to the wind as much as some of these young guys. So having guys like Rodrigo, having guys like Vinny on the wings can help. Rodrigo obviously didn't have a great game the first game against Real Sociedad, but I do think he's a talented player. But we're definitely missing guys like Hazard and Asensio. Asensio playing on the right wing, obviously, with that left foot of his. He likes to cut inside when he's playing on the right wing, and he can definitely score some bangers, definitely set up some great plays. So I think missing, you know, Hazard and Asensio is probably the reason why we're going to go more with this 4-4-2, at least until they're fit to play. I like the 4-4-2, but I like it because it takes pressure, or it gives us extra firepower, or at least frees up Benzema to be more of the Benzema that we know, and gives him opportunities to score. But it does make us lack speed, and I do feel it makes us lack that width, which we made up for it because Fede Valverde had an absolute amazing game. He was just a force. He was the, you know, the quintessential box-to-box midfielder. He was all over the field. You know, you would see him going up to go and, you know, try and score and make plays, and he did, you know, and he scored that first goal, but he was also dropping back all the way to, you know, to the defensive positions to assist the defense, and he was recovering balls and then just going back up again. So he was really bombing up and down the field. I love using that term, bombing up and down the field, but he was doing that. He was definitely just doing everything that was required for us to get back in the game. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have gotten back in the game as much as we did. Casemiro, he is the force that we definitely need, but he wasn't at his best. I definitely think that knock that he took from Emerson in the first half seemed to take the wind out of his sails for pretty much. It seemed like he just couldn't get back on his feet, but who are you going to replace him with? And besides that, he seemed to want to continue to soldier on. So, but I do think obviously the second goal, the first goal, where the central defender from Betis, Mandi, scored the header to equalize the game. Definitely, I think Casemiro, if he was feeling himself, was not going to let that slip. You know, he mistimed his jump, and Mandi got to the ball and was able to score. So, like I said, there were little moments where we switched off, or our players just made two mistakes that essentially cost us those two goals. But besides that, it's not all doom and gloom, which I think a lot of Madridistas on Twitter are, you know, so worried about. You know, they're so worried about. I mean, it's still the beginning of the season. Yes, we're lacking in firepower. No, we didn't, you know, score the six goals that Atletico Madrid scored, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, or the four goals that Barcelona scored, you know, against Villarreal. But it's still very early in the season, and you cannot go by that at the beginning. I think there are a lot of positives to take away. Baran is still very solid. Sergio Ramos is solid. He had a little bit of an issue. I think there was some times where I was wondering why he was so far up. You know, the sitter that he missed, he was basically in the box as if he was an additional striker. I don't know if that was a necessity that early in the game, but, you know, and sometimes I guess, you know, sort of my criticism of Zidane a little bit is sometimes you kind of looking at the formation, it's sometimes hard to see what they're playing, you know, what the lineup is. Were they playing a 4-4-2 diamond, or were they playing a traditional 4-4-2? You know, because the players were moving in and out and changing positions. And I know Zidane likes the wings to change, and you know, he likes to have them, he likes to have them switch positions, especially on the wings and in the midfield. You know, he obviously Benzema was roaming a lot more freely. So it was just strange to see it like that. I mean, there were portions of the game, obviously, where it was a 4-3-1-2, you know, with Toni Kroos on the side, basically on the left flank, Valverde on the right, Casemiro obviously in that central defensive position, and then Odegaard as the number 10, seemingly, you know. But they were just really drifting into, you know, Odegaard was drifting to the right, Karim Benzema was dropping back, then Mendy was going all the way, bombing all the way forward, Toni Kroos was covering the wing. So you would get these, you know, positions where you were sometimes wondering what they were playing at. And that's kind of one of the things, I mean, while that can work sometimes to keep the opponent guessing, I think it does leave you to some confusion, to getting overloaded. Like, I think if we look back to the Real Sociedad game, I think the one issue that I have a little bit with Karim moving so freely in the box and dropping back was there were times where he drifted to the, you know, he drifted wide to the left. And this is talking about the Real Sociedad game when they were playing 4-3-3, that you basically had Mendy, Vinicius, and Benzema all in on the left hand, on the left side of the box. And while, you know, doing a lot of interplay there, but when they crossed into the box, there was nobody there to receive the ball and try to score. You know, it was just, there was no target person because they were all kind of running over each other on one side. That's kind of what I saw with that 4-3-3 formation, but I still think it's a little bit better of a formation if we have the speed, because we have the width and we have the speed. But I like this formation for what it allows Benzema to do. And maybe with a team that is sitting back a little bit more and is not risking attacking as much, I really like this formation to break somebody down, to break a team down. But when you have, you know, a team like Betis that has, you know, talented midfielders like Joaquin and Canales, quick, you know, a quick forward like Sanabria, you know, very somebody who's having a great game like Fekir, who's very good at his passing, very good at shooting. You know, I don't know if you want to leave that open. You know, I don't know if you want to be lacking speed and be lacking width when they can put a couple of passes together and already be behind your defenders. and be behind your wingers behind your fullbacks if they're pushing too far forward, like Mendy and Carvajal were doing in the game today. So I'm kind of mixed on the feelings of that. We'll have to see. I still think, you know, the 4-3-3 is my favorite, at least. But I like this 4-4-2 formation because it brings Jovic into the game. So I think if we're more secure, and I know that Zidane doesn't seem like he doesn't like to change up the formation, obviously. So I don't know if it's something like, oh, you know, we're going to go to a 4-4-2 if we're up on the, you know, if we're up on the scoreline, you know, are we going to move into a 4-4-2, bring in an extra striker, but play a little bit further back, you know, and kind of, you know, plug the holes a little bit more and not try to score as much, play a little bit more defensively, or are we just going to go and stay 4-3-3 and try to, you know, if we're winning, then run up the scoreline. So I don't know. Or can he finally, you know, take Benzema out if we're up and put Jovic in, you know? So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, obviously, Mayoral, he did a good job in the game. He actually made some good plays that ended up getting us that drawing the penalty that ended us giving us the game for giving the penalty to Sergio Ramos. Sergio Ramos, Panenka King right now, scoring. He's just doing an amazing job. And, you know, he gave us the winner there. So, like I said, I think in looking here at the formation I have written down and kind of how I saw the game, we lack the wing play and speed of the 4-3-3. I feel we're lacking those players like Hazard and Asensio, you know, making those runs and dribbles into the box, Vinny, Rodrigo. But the downside, obviously, is that it leaves of that 4-3-3 is that it leaves Benz on his own. And he's just not your pure number nine. He drops back to make plays and a lot of times leaves really the team with no reference in the box sometimes, which we saw with Real Sociedad. And what we need to do is score goals. I think it's still too early, guys, to really, you know, a lot of Madridistas like to get up in arms. And, you know, I'm seeing things like Benzema out and Zidane out and things like that. And I just don't understand why Madridistas can be so radical or, you know, just so, I don't know, just jumping the gun, man, just so reactionary. You know, like, we won the game today. It wasn't an easy game. They can look, people are going to harp on the whole idea of VAR as much as they want. I definitely think Emerson was already on a yellow card. I definitely think it was a foul on Jovic. There's a lot of people who are saying it wasn't. It was definitely a foul on Jovic. You know, he strikes, there is contact on Jovic, whether it was, there's two contacts. There's a push, which probably wasn't enough to put Jovic down, but there was basically contact with his legs that did trip him up. He was already on a yellow card, so if there was another yellow card, it would have been a red. But in this case, he was last, you know, he was the last defender, and Jovic was in on goal. So I do think it was a legal red card. So I don't understand, you know, the people's, I guess people's aversion to that whole idea. But obviously, you know, I'm biased, I guess, but it's like, you know, for a lot of times, for the longest time, it was that, you know, we only won because of the refs, and that VAR, the argument was that finally VAR was going to stop Real Madrid from stealing games, quote unquote, you know, and, you know, everyone was happy about it, happy about VAR, all the anti-Madridistas happy about VAR, that it was going to stop us from stealing games and everything. And now it's that VAR is helping us, you know, all the time. I mean, if you go by the rule book, the penalty was a penalty because Bartra, yeah, it was a strange one. I mean, he's falling, but he touches the ball. And if he had not touched the ball, I mean, the whole idea is also in the rule book is, does it move the ball? Does it affect the position of the ball? Does the hand affect the position of the ball in reference to the scoring opportunity? Or, and in that case, it did, you know. You know, he touched the ball, and you can see that Borja Mayoral was already almost like in full swing, ready to kick the ball. His hand, Bartra's hand, or his arm, hits the ball and moves it from that position. Now, we don't know if it would have gone into the goal or it would have gone into the stands, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. And now it's, you know, they're not being, I mean, I think the one thing that you could say is kind of annoying about the new rule set is that pretty much any hand in the box is a handball. But that's the new rule. Any hand in the box is a handball. And unless it's, you know, tied to your body or you have them behind your, you know, you're seeing a lot of these defenders making sure that their hands are, you know, clasped behind their back pretty much. So unless if you're like that and they're really stuck to your body, then, you know, you're going to get called on it. Because people are saying, oh, well, you know, he's going to fall. He was falling. You know, he's got to, you know, break his fall. I don't know. I mean, I definitely think if you go by the rule book, it was what it was, you know. And then the offside and what was it? Was it whether or not Benzema was offside when Emerson scored the own goal? And there's a shot right there. You know, I took a shot and I put it on Twitter. If you guys want to go take a look at it, I put a shot that, you know, of the VAR and how they determine that, you know. And he wasn't offside. So Emerson scores an own goal. That ties up the game. What else can I tell you? You know, it's not like other teams haven't been helped by VAR. You know, VAR has been sort of a thorn in the side of many people, many fans. You know, you love it. You love it when it helps your team, and you hate it when it doesn't. But the whole idea is that it's supposed to make the game fair and make the calls fair for everyone. So as much as they can affect Real Madrid, they can favor Real Madrid. As much as they can affect Barcelona, and I bring up Barcelona because they're always the ones that are going to fucking cry about it. Sorry to curse, but that's always how it is because they're our major rivals. So they're always going to cry about it no matter what we do, you know. And El Chiringuito and Soria and J. Jordi and Barcelona's players and the opponents, whether it's Canales or Robles, the goalkeeper, or Pellegrini, the coach of Betis, they're all going to complain. Because when you're on the losing end of a decision, you're going to complain about it. And you're always going to disagree with the call. If I go back to my fighting days, which I, you know, I bring them up every once in a while when I was a coach, you always, you know, if somebody kind of like rabbit punches, which is a punch behind the head, or does any sort of movement that's kind of seemingly illegal, you as a coach that you want to protect your fighter or want your fighter to win, you're always like, hey, ref, what are you doing? You know, you call on him and tell him that he's full of shit. And that's what happens here. So tough luck, guys, to all the anti-Madridistas out there. We won the game 3-2. It's not like we enjoy. I would love to see Real Madrid win a game, especially, you know, obviously for us to protect or to really protect our championship, you know, our La Liga title, to protect our title. I would like to us be, you know, more decisive. I would love to see the games be more decisive, you know. But not all games are going to be won like that. You're going to win. You're going to have ugly games. You're going to have games that are gritty. You're going to have games where you win by the skin of your teeth. And I think that's, you know, sometimes those are going to be against tough teams, teams that are going to give you some problems. And Betis gave us problems. We had two teams so far to start off our La Liga season, which are Real Sociedad and Real Betis, which are not... yes, they are more middle of the table teams, but they are tough teams. They are teams that always give teams problems away from home. So at least in the last few seasons. So I don't think it is time to worry. Now, if we play on Wednesday when we play against Valladolid, which, you know, I don't think any team is really easy in La Liga. People can talk all they want about La Liga. Maybe some of the teams that were just promoted, sure. You know, but if we don't score goals against Valladolid and we don't look good against Valladolid, then there might be something to worry about. If we don't look good against teams like Elche, Cadiz, Levante, you know, if we don't look good against teams like Alaves, you know, some teams like that, which are more towards the bottom of the table, then I think we're going to have a problem. But right now, it's way too early for us to be worrying about this. And I think from what we've seen, I think we do have the talent to defend La Liga title. For Champions League, that's a whole other story. For Copa del Rey, I think we can win, you know. We'll have to see, you know. It still takes time. We've got, like I said, Odegaard still's got a mesh. We haven't seen a prime Hazard. We haven't seen Jovic, you know, really kind of show us what he's got, if it's still there. I mean, you never know. This might be the season where all three of those guys wake up and all of a sudden we have some killers and we have a fantastic season, you know. So that's as much as I'm going to say about that game. And so before, you know, let's do our La Liga recap, which we had two. We had many big games, but we'll focus on a few of them.
It's time for your La Liga results recap.
All right. So obviously, like I said, this is match day 3. Started on Saturday. That was September 26th. Getafe started off the match day with playing Alaves. They were held, both teams. Alaves held Getafe to a 0-0 draw. The next game was Valencia versus Huesca. Valencia and Huesca drew 1-1. The goals Valencia scored in the 38th minute was Daniel Vaz, and in the 63rd minute, Huesca equalized with a goal by Dimitris Siovas. You know, just Valencia still, you know, they're really, you know, Huesca just got promoted. Valencia still struggling. So, you know, remains to be seen where they're going to end up. Now, Real Sociedad completely dominated Elche, won the game 3-0 with goals by Portu, Adnan Januzaj, and Roberto Lopez Alcaide. So that was the 3-0 win. And then obviously was the Real Betis-Real Madrid game, which we won 3-2. Moving on to the Sunday's games, Levante beats Osasuna. In Osasuna, in Pamplona, that was Levante scored 3 goals to Osasuna's 1. The goals were scored by Gonzalo Melero, Roger Marti, and Morales, who, you know, I honestly think Morales is underrated. I really like him. The lone goal from Osasuna was scored by Roberto Torres. Athletic Bilbao played Eibar, and Athletic Club wins 2-1. Goals scored by Unai Lopez were both in the 40th minute and in the 87th minute. And Quique from Eibar, this Quique Garcia from Eibar, scores the lone goal for Eibar in the 48th minute in the second half. So then we move on to Atletico Madrid. Obviously, the big game there, Atletico Madrid, everybody was looking at it. The big story, Luis Suarez moving from Barcelona to Atletico Madrid. And, what a debut for the guy. Atletico Madrid scores 6 goals, wins 6-1 against Granada. Diego Costa opens the scoring in the 9th minute. Then Angel Correa in the 47th minute. Joao Felix in the 65th. Marcos Llorente in the 72nd minute, and then Luis Suarez coming on for his Atletico Madrid debut, scores in the 85th minute and in extra time as well. He also made the great assist to Marcos Llorente for the fourth goal. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what Barcelona are doing, letting him go. We'll see, you know. I mean, they have somebody there, which is Ansu Fati, which that kid is, and I'll talk about him in a second, but I think Luis Suarez is going to make them pay. And with that said, I also think Atletico Madrid is going to be a pain in the ass. If they're already not a pain in the ass, obviously, in derbies, they're going to be even worse They look like they have depth. They have a lot of goal scorers. They have a lot of firepower. That's a team. That is going to be the team. Honestly, I feel like that is going to be the team to beat this season. Forget Barcelona. I don't see Barcelona being as tough. So anyway, Jorge Molina scores the consolation goal for Granada in that 6-1 victory for Atletico Madrid. Valladolid and Celta Vigo tie 1-1. Goals coming from Sergio Guardiola by penalty and Iago Aspas, of course, for Celta Vigo. And then Cadiz-Sevilla. Again, Sevilla looking strong. Luke de Jong in the 65th minute. Munir El Haddadi in the 90th minute. And Ivan Rakitic in extra time for the 3-1 win over Cadiz. Cadiz actually opened the scoring, were winning the game. And then, they let the game go in the dying minutes, really, of the game. Well, after they equalized, Luke de Jong equalizes in the 65th minute. And then the last 4 minutes of the game after extra time, pretty much, Munir in the 90th minute and the 94th minute, they let two goals. They let the game slip. They could have at least gotten a draw, but Munir and Rakitic come up big and get the win for Sevilla. And then obviously we move on to Barcelona versus Villarreal. And the thing that surprises me the most about this and really is that I was expecting so much from Villarreal. Honestly, because they brought in guys like Parejo, they brought in guys like Coquelin, they have guys like Gerard Moreno, Trigueros, Moy Gomez, Chukwueze, defenders like Albiol, Gaspar. It's just Iborra. They have a solid team, and I just don't understand. And in Unai Emery, I don't know. It's not just this game. They didn't look good in their first two games, and they looked absolutely terrible today. And that's not taken away from Barcelona, although I'd rather Barcelona lose every game. But Ansu Fati, the kid is a star. He's on fire. Now, people might hate me for saying this. I am a Madridista, but right now, Ansu Fati's killing it. He's looking better than Vinicius. In that case, I mean, he might not have the speed or the, I would say the, like I once again use that word, to go inside the recklessness that he uses or that fearlessness to go into the box and dribble through defenders. But what he has is the finishing skills. And the finishing skills are above Vinicius right now. Vinicius has to get confident in his shooting skills because Ansu Fati is definitely a force to be reckoned with. And so, he scores the two goals. Then Lionel Messi gets a penalty, which I actually think, with as much people complain about VAR, that penalty by Ansu Fati, he fell like 3 seconds after, or like, well, not 3 seconds, that's exaggerated, but he fell like a full second after... what was it? Pau Torres, I believe, was the one who gave away the penalty. He felt like an entire second after he touched him. The touch was very light. It was a very soft penalty, and you cannot tell me that he did not sell that, and that wasn't a gift of a penalty. Obviously, we're biased because we're Madridistas, but I do not think that was a penalty. But anyway, Lionel Messi scores, and then Pau Torres scores an own goal. So they win 4-0. That was all the goals were scored in the first half. In the second half, Villarreal woke up, it seemed like, and played a decent game. But it was all done and dusted by that point. So I don't know. I mean, what are we going to say? I still think it's too early in the season to start saying, Barcelona is... are going to be world beaters. I still think this is the season to really kind of that they're not going to do well. I don't know. Messi's body language just looks like he doesn't want to be there most of the time. So I don't really know. And I'm pretty sure seeing Luis Suarez score two goals and, provide that assist was something that's still going to bother him. So we'll see. I think it's 4-0. The one thing they can be excited about, and I can give them that, is Ansu Fati is a star. But that's it. We'll see how the games keep playing out. All right, guys. So that is it for your La Liga recap. So what else is there to talk about? Honestly, I think we covered everything. I think we covered everything for this week's, for this weekend's match day three. Like I said, this was the official kickoff of La Liga, I feel, because it was really all the teams are finally, you know, playing. All the teams are finally out there playing, all the ones that had breaks from the because of the European competitions they were involved in. You know, and we're finally going to see, you know, the real competition and see really where the chips lie. Obviously, right now, if we look at La Liga standings, Real Betis, even though they lost against Real Madrid, they are still in first place. Granada is still in second. Real Sociedad is in third. So, you know, those are still games. Obviously, they have more games than any of the big, you know, you would think of the big teams such as Atletico, Barcelona, Sevilla, and Real Madrid, who I think are going to be our top four this year. But it's going to be a tough season. I think it's going to be a tough season when it comes to Atletico being a definite threat. Sevilla is a definite threat. Barcelona, as much as I don't think they're that threatening, and I think as Real Madrid we can do well against them. I think you don't know if. A lot of times when a team seems like they're down and out or a lot of the chips are stacked against them is when you really need to worry about them. So you can't sleep on them. And definitely Real Madrid has to tighten up and we have to find our goals and our players got to show up. Our players that are you know, that were scoring goals for us last season, they got to score goals for us now. We need that. We need Benzema firing on all cylinders. We need Hazard firing on all cylinders. Jovic, we need him to find his form that he had at Eintracht Frankfurt. We need Odegaard to start scoring as well. Asensio to come into the game. Vini to find his his sights, you know. But I think I still got faith, guys. So, you know, let's not be reactionary. Let's not be pessimist. And let's keep on playing one game at a time. We got the first win of the season. We improved on a draw. We haven't lost any games. So let's keep up that momentum. Let's keep up that momentum, and I think we'll do good. So, you know, thanks everybody for listening to episode 3 of the podcast. I'll try to do episode 4 right after the game on Wednesday, so I can see if we can do a release on Thursday, since it's a Wednesday game, it's a middle of the week game. Usually I record these on Sunday nights, right after the games end for the day is when I record them. And for the weekend, I mean. So I'll try to get them on Wednesday once, you know, we play. I believe the matches are all on, let's see, the matches are on, so they're on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I'll probably have the podcast, let's say I'll put it up probably Friday. I'm going to put the podcast probably up on Friday or Thursday night. So just stay tuned for that. And that's it, guys. So really, besides that, please remember that we are now available on Stitcher. We are now available on Apple Podcasts. We are now available on pretty much everywhere you find your podcast, whether it's TuneIn, Spotify, whatever. Just look us up, Y Nada Más Podcast, as well as on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. And if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to write for us, I want to include some blogs and some articles on our website. And if you're interested in getting into sports writing and things like that, please hit us up at info@inadamas.net. That is our website. And, you know, we'll get back to you on that and we can see if we could start some sort of collaboration there. And that's it, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We will, be back on Thursday. As I said, either Thursday evening or Friday morning with a podcast for the midweek games. And then we will be back on Monday of next week as well for the recap of the weekend games. And that'll be it, guys. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast.
This has been Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast.